الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: تركتكم على البيضاء ليلها ونهارها سواء، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected elders, young friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continually showers his favors and bounties upon us. And we usually remain drenched in these showers of favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My late mentor, Hazrat Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, once wrote in his letter to me, stating that we should drown in the act of shukr. That means we should continually at all times remain engaged in being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he stated that we should remain drowned in shukr, because at all times Allah keeps us drowned in his favors. And upon every favor, shukr is wajib. Shukr is incumbent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us innumerable favors. Innumerable favors. There are some which we appreciate to be the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many others which we do not even realize to be the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those that we are unable to appreciate are far more greater than those that we are able to appreciate. This madrasa which is running under the auspices of Medina Masjid is also a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a favor and not a great favor. A very great and a very precious favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to education, then normally in this day and age, it is divided into two categories, secular and religious. Thereafter, when we look at the religious education, it is divided into two categories, elementary and higher education. So the first comparison is between secular and religious. Secular education, schools, colleges, universities. Religious education, makatib, madaris, jami'at, darul ulooms. So the first comparison is between secular education and religious education. When we compare secular with religious or religious with secular, every Muslim will say that religious education is more precious than secular education. Because the most that the secular education can do is assist a person until the grave, up to the grave. That is the most that the secular education can do. Medicine, law, engineering, any secular education. And it is not necessary that it will definitely assist you. There are so many professionals who can't find jobs. There are so many professionals who have not benefited at all in this world from their degrees. But if it does benefit, the most it will benefit is up to the grave. Beyond it cannot help. Religious education will assist a person in this world at the time of death, beyond in the grave, on the day of Qiyamah, at the time of Hisab and reckoning, on the Pul Sirat. And it will continue to assist and guide this person who has acquired religious knowledge until this person reaches Jannatul Firdaus. This is our belief. There is no doubt. And even a non-Muslim can understand the first part, that secular education will help only
for as long as I am alive. After I am dead, secular education will not help me. Even the non-Muslims will agree. But as far as a Muslim is concerned, this is part of his faith. That religious education will help in this world and also beyond. Now some people may argue that if you have an honest doctor, a good Muslim doctor, and if he serves the humanity, then this will also help him in the hereafter. But yes, he will only be able to serve the humanity with total sincerity if he has religious education. Without religious education, he cannot make his secular education valuable in the hereafter. You ask any Muslim throughout the world, a scholar, a layman, educated person, ignorant, if he has love for religion, if he has some average understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will say, religious education is more precious than secular education. Religious education enjoys a higher status than secular education. But is that what we believe? It's a very delicate question. Is that what we believe? Practically, what do we see? What does our behavior say? Actions speak louder than words. Verbally, we will all say that religious education enjoys a much more higher status than the secular education. But what does our actions declare? What is our behavior at home with our children when it comes to school and madrasa? If there is a clash between the school and the madrasa, what is our behavior? Do we ever book our holidays before inquiring from the school when the school holidays are? Do we ever inquire from the madrasa when the madrasa vacation is? How many parents give importance to parents' evening when it comes to school or college? And how many parents actually turn up in the madrasa when they are invited by the madrasa? Just think about the amount of respect we show to the teacher in the school, how we behave with the teacher, and the amount of respect and honor we show to the teacher who is teaching our child in the madrasa. These are simple but very serious questions that we all need to ask. We cannot go from here happily that alhamdulillah, we have a very nice madrasa and we are all supporting the madrasa and we are all 100% in favor of the madrasa and we understand the importance of the education that is imparted in the madrasa. And we give preference to the religious education over the secular education. It is not a reality. It is not a reality, my friends. When somebody is introduced to us, this is my son, and alhamdulillah, he is a doctor. This is my son, he is a lawyer. This is my son, he is an architect. How do we feel inside? And when a father says, this is my son and alhamdulillah, he is an alim. This is my son and alhamdulillah, he is a mufti. How do we feel at that time? Every person is judge and jury for himself. I am judge and jury for myself. You are judge and jury for yourself. Ask these questions. And let your conscience answer these questions, very serious questions. Without answering these questions, my friends, if we continue to ignore this situation, we ourselves will deprive our future generations of this great blessed knowledge of Nubuwa. Secular education, the ulama, do not discourage it. Secular education is good. It's again ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If acquired, remaining within the limits of Sharia, and if utilized correctly, alhamdulillah, it is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it can never supersede the knowledge of Nubuwa. Never. Never. It is for this reason the ulama, the muhakkikin, the muhaddisin, the mufassirin are of the opinion that ilm is only one. Knowledge, education, English words. The Arabic word ilm is only one. The ilm of Nubuwa. Quran is ilm. Hadith is ilm. And anything derived from Quran and Hadith is ilm. Science is not ilm as far as Sharia is concerned. Because the definition of ilm is that education and that knowledge which makes a person successful in this world and also in the hereafter. And all the secular sciences do not fall in this definition. Lot of people misinterpret this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. They say any nafi', any beneficial ilm is ilm. No. This is lack of understanding of this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a. Oh Allah, I ask from you beneficial ilm. When a person says, oh Allah, I ask from you beneficial ilm. He is only asking for ilm and nubuwwat, ilm of the Quran and ilm of Hadith, not any other ilm. Because science, geography, history, it is not ilm. It is a profession. Profession cannot be ilm, and ilm cannot be called profession. It is for this reason when you say there is a gathering for professionals. The mind does not go towards the ulama because they are not professionals. They are people of ilm. Ilm is ilm. Ilm cannot be profession. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from that ilm which does not benefit. So people say any ilm that benefits a person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has encouraged us through his uswa to make dua for that ilm. So any ilm that benefits is ilm-e-nafiya. It falls in that category of ilm which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has asked from Allah. No, my friends. No. So what is the difference between beneficial ilm and non-beneficial ilm? When a person acquires ilm, and thereafter he practices that ilm, he will become successful in the hereafter, so this ilm is beneficial. And when a person acquires ilm in nubuwwat, but he does not practice, this ilm is non-beneficial. So beneficial ilm is also ilm-e-nubuwat and non-beneficial ilm is also ilm-e-nubuwat. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiya, he is saying, oh Allah, grant me ilm-e-nubuwat and also with that ilm, grant me the tawfiq to practice that ilm. And when he says, oh Allah, I seek your refuge from non-beneficial ilm, what is he saying? Oh Allah, what I don't want from you is ilm. And thereafter, deprivation from the tawfiq to practice that ilm. So in both dua, the ilm that is referred to is ilm-e-nubuwat. But as I said, there are many professions which are very, very important to survive in this world. So we need good doctors, we need good engineers, we need good mechanics, we need good barristers, we need good architects, we need good engineers, we need good teachers for our schools, for our colleges, universities. It is important. It is like risk, it is like food, it is like medicine, necessity of this world. So it is very important that our students who choose to go into colleges, universities, they work very hard in colleges, in universities, they acquire ilm and they reach a very high status in these professions, so that they are able to assist and support the Muslim community and the humanity at large. It is very good, alhamdulillah. It is just like wealth, a very wealthy person. He will be able to support Muslim causes, he will be able to support the humanity in their dire need. So alhamdulillah, the ulama do not discourage secular education. But as a Muslim, we have to understand the difference between secular and Islamic education. Secular and religious education. Secular education is profession. And religious education is ilm. All the virtues that were mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the ahadith are only for religious education. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and over again mentions ilm, 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 and ilm is ilm, not profession. And even the professionals accept this fact because they look down upon the ulama and they feel that we are professionals, they are not. And we also accept that we are not professionals, alhamdulillah. We are very happy that alhamdulillah we are not professionals. We are neither professionals nor people of ilm. At least I can say that for myself. We have good, competent ulama sitting here. But alhamdulillah, it is a great honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has included me and my colleagues in the list of those people who are seen as the people of ilm. We would never want to be called a professional. Those people who acquire ilm, what is their motto? Secular education. Why do people acquire secular education? To serve humanity? No, that is a secondary objective. The first and the prime and the, in many cases, in majority of the cases, only objective is money. That is why they study very carefully. If I take this course, where will it lead me to? When you sit with the career officer, what does he discuss? Does he discuss service to humanity? Does he ever say, if you become a doctor, you will be able to serve the humanity? You will be an asset for the humanity because you will be able to give them service? No. He talks about money. All career officers in hundreds throughout the country and throughout the world in hundreds of thousands. So secular education, the prime objective is money. And ilm, the prime objective is service. Service to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam are the fountains of this ilm. And their motto was, لا أسألكم عليه من أجر إن أجري إلا على الله. I do not want anything from you. Just listen to what I am saying. Try to follow what I am saying. I am your well-wisher. I want to see the best for you in this world and also in the hereafter, and more in the hereafter because hereafter is more important. My ajr, my wage, my salary, Allah will grant me. In the hereafter and also in this world, Allah will look after me. Secular education
The main objective is money. A good worldly life. And religious education will mean nubuwwat. The main objective is service to humanity. And pleasures of the akhirah. In secular education, the motive is always khulus. And in religious education, the motive is always khulus. There is a vast difference between the two, my friends. Those people who acquire secular education, after secular education, when they find their job, before accepting the job, they look at the package. What is in the package? Salary, car, bonus, house, free holidays. And the people of ilm, majority of them don't even know what a package is. A meager wage. Meager wage, despite the madaris and the societies having ample fund in their bank accounts. They become very, very stingy when it comes to paying the people of ilm. Very, very stingy. When it comes paying to the people of ilm, very, very stingy. And you will seldom find an individual from the people of ilm who will discuss salary with you and say, I need an increase. Seldom. Seldom. And as far as the people of ilm are concerned, if they hear of an individual from the group of the people of ilm asking for a rise in the salary, they probably don't accept him to be part of their group. They find it very, very surprising that an alim is asking for an increase in the wage. Very surprising. Because that is not their objective. Only because the ulama accept salary, accept wages, people tend to think that they are doing the service of deen and they are teaching the children, they are leading us in salat for money. This thought is very, very detrimental for your deen and for your iman and for your akhirat, my friends. How much do you pay your local imam? He can find a better job outside, where he is able to earn more and more easier job. There he will be answering only one manager. In the masjid, every musalli is a manager. Ask the ulama, ask the imams how difficult this job is. Ask those people who teach in the maktab how difficult it is to teach the children in the maktab. I haven't taught the students of maktab for a very long time. Approximately 18 years, maybe 16, 18, 20 years. But whenever I see those ulama, huffaz who teach in the maktab, I admire them. The mahol has changed, the environment has changed dramatically. The students have no respect for their teachers at all. It is not like before that the teacher enters the class and everybody sits respectfully. Everybody dresses well. No, they have no manners. No adab. They fail to recognize the value of the teacher. This is a satanic thought that ulama work for money. No, my friends. Ulama don't work for money. But because it is their 24-hour occupation, if they don't take their wages from the masjid or from the madrasa, how will they be able to support their families? So there are two choices. One choice is that they don't take money.
They don't take money. Because they don't like taking money for the service that they render. So they don't take money. Our Imam Sahib says, no, I can't take, I don't want to take it, I don't feel right. So he will end up in a factory. And if he ends up in a factory, who is going to look after this masjid? And I am speaking on behalf of these akabir who are sitting here, on behalf of the ulama, majority of the ulama. Majority of the ulama, that they wish within their hearts that if it was possible at all to survive without taking wages from the masjid and madrasa. That is their wish within their hearts. And they would have preferred working elsewhere to acquire their rizq, to earn their daily bread, to earn their living. So basically what is happening is that they are striving and exerting mujahada in order to serve the community. Because they are doing something that they don't want to do. They've been doing something that they don't want to do for years and years. They don't want to take wages from the masjid, but they have to. Because if they don't take wages, how will they be able to fulfill the command of Allah that look after your family? Those people who are heard making such comments, I say to them that leave everything that you are doing. Only for 3 months. Leave everything that you are doing only for 3 months and lead Salat 5 times or with a co-imam and teach Maktab only for 3 months. And see how difficult this job is. We should not entertain such thoughts, my friends. We should not entertain such thoughts. They have a responsibility to look after themselves, look after their families. And this is the only way. Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was appointed the caliph, he became responsible for the whole ummah. The following morning, at around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock after Ishraq, Umar radiyallahu anhu was walking in the streets and he saw Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu also walking in the street. They met each other, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. Where are you going, Abu Bakr? He said, I am going to the marketplace. Marketplace? He said, yes, I have to earn a living for my family. If I don't go to trade, how can I support my family? Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, if you go to the marketplace and from morning till evening if you stay in the marketplace, who is going to look after the affair of the Muslims? He said, return to your home. Return to your home. And thereafter Umar radiyallahu anhu convened a shura. And in that shura it was decided that Baytul Mal will support Abu Bakr. Why? Because he is engaged in looking after the affair of the ummah. If he goes out to earn his daily living, then the affairs of the Muslim ummah will be affected. So if the ulama go out to earn, the religious affairs of the Muslim communities will be affected. So secular education is fulus. And religious education is khulus. And those engaged in secular education, when do you see them actively in human service? After they have stocked up enough money to survive for the next 100 years. Not before that. After they retire, now they are interested in the affairs of the Muslim community. They are interested in the affairs of the humanity. Not when they don't have anything in the bank account. No, not when they are in debt. Not when they cannot even afford to buy a house. No, you will not see them in community service. Because this is not profession and because fulus is not the objective, overtime, same wage. And may Allah give hidayat to those people who look after their affairs in the masajid and institutes, even once in a year they don't feel like giving each teacher £20 as a bonus. That let's give them £20 each this month. Not once a year. It hurts, my friends, it hurts. It hurts. We can send Christmas cards and Easter eggs for the teacher in the school and college. But we cannot give, we cannot afford to give a £5 note to that teacher who is looking after the akhirat of our child, who is looking after the aqaid of our child. Very bitter but reality. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Harun Rashid, a great caliph, but he had lot of love for the ulama and the people of ilm. Harun Rashid, great caliph, but he had lot of love for ilm and ulama. When he went to Medina Munawwara, he sent a message to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala from Amirul Mu'mineen Harun al-Rashid to the Imam of Darul Hijrah, Imam of Medina Munawwara, Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah ta'ala. I have come to Medina Munawwara and it is my desire that I learn Mu'atta Imam Malik from you. I listen to Mu'atta Imam Malik direct from you, so I am able to narrate the ahadith. I want to listen to it directly from you. You are the author of Mu'atta Imam Malik. Can you allocate a time when you will bless me with your company in my palace so that I may be able to benefit from you? Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala replied to that message, to that letter. Min Malik ibn Anas ila Amir al-Mu'mineen Harun al-Rashid. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, al-ilmu la ya'ti, yuta ilayhi. Ilm does not go to anybody. Every person has to go to ilm. Ilm does not go to anybody. Each person has to go to ilm. Harun al-Rashid came into the al-Masjid al-Nabawi at the allocated time when Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala used to impart his dars. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala came into al-Masjid al-Nabawi and all the students were sat before him in hundreds. And he sat on the high place, prepared himself to give the dars, and it was his habit that he used to look around before beginning the ilm, before commencing his lesson. Because he demanded from his students respect for ilm. So he would look around him very carefully. Is everybody sitting with adab, with respect or not? So all the students were sitting with respect and adab. And he saw a person away from the gathering, sitting leaning against a pillar of the Al-Masjid al-Nabawi. So Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala observed very carefully to see who that person was, and he realized it was Amirul Mu'mineen Harun al-Rashid. So he shouted from his place. He said, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, O Amirul Mu'mineen, Inna min ijlali Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ijlal al-ilm. Part of honoring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to honor the ilm that he had brought. Part of honoring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is honoring the ilm that he had brought. Please come close. sit with the gathering respectfully.
Ilm is a very, very virtuous item. Very virtuous. Profession cannot be called ilm. Profession cannot be called ilm. Ilm is for khulus. Ilm is for the hereafter. A person acquires ilm for the hereafter. A person practices ilm for the hereafter. And a person imparts ilm for the hereafter. Only for the hereafter. And secular education, there are many motives. Worldly motives. Big difference. Ali radiyallahu anhu used to say, Radina kismat al jabbari fina, lana ilmun walil juhale malu. فإن المال يفنى عن قريب وإن العلم باق لا يزال رضينا قسمة الجبار فينا. He used to say that I am very very happy, we the group of ulama are very happy. He used to say رضينا, we the people of ilm are very happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which distribution? He said to some he has given wealth but not ilm. And to us he has given ilm, but not wealth. He said, we are very happy with this distribution. We don't feel left out. That, oh, he's very wealthy. Oh, look at his car. Oh, look at his home. No. Look at his status. No, we don't feel left out. And if a person who is labeled as an alim or as a person of ilm, if he feels that way, then he is not part of the group of the ulama. He has also become a professional. The people of ilm don't feel that way. Because the people of ilm know the reality of all these things. They know the reality of Mercedes and Lexus and other big cars. They know the reality of bungalows and homes. They know the reality. So these things don't attract them. Radina kismat al jabbar fina. We are happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lana ilmun. Allah has granted us ilm. Walil juhale malu. And those who do not have ilm, Allah has granted them wealth. Why are we happy? He says, فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. Because the wealth will perish soon. The wealth will perish soon. Either wealth will go away, leaving him as a poor person, or he will leave, leaving the wealth for his inheritors. فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالُ. And ilm will remain forever and ever. Ilm will remain forever and ever. Because secular education or secular subjects or secular sciences are professions which assist only in this world, so as soon as a person breathes his last, in the hereafter he will not have those titles, those degrees will be gone. So all the doctors who are sitting in this gathering, they will be doctors and only until they breathe their last. In the hereafter nobody will call them doctor. Dr. Ibrahim will become a simple Ibrahim. And Barrister Muhammad will become a simple Muhammad. Why? There will be no disputes in the hereafter. We don't need barristers there. People will not be sick in the hereafter. We don't need doctors there. The Malaika will build homes for us. We don't need engineers and architects and mechanical engineers. Electrical engineers. But ilm, it is ilm nubuwat. It is the ilm of Allah. The fountain of ilm is the Quran. Quran has always been with Allah. Quran will always remain with, so Quran can never perish. And any ilm associated to Quran can never perish. So when an alim breathes his last, in the grave the ilm will remain with him. On the day of Qiyamah, ilm will remain with him. At the time of reckoning, ilm will remain with him.
So a Maulana will be resurrected as a Maulana on the day of Qiyamah. A Sheikh will be resurrected as a Sheikh on the day of Qiyamah. A Mufti will be resurrected as Mufti on the day of Qiyamah. A Qari will be resurrected as a Qari on the day of Qiyamah. Yuqalu li sahibil Qur'an, iqra wartaqi, warattil kama kunta turattilu fid dunya. And in order to establish the status of the ulama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after granting many, 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 many favors to the people of Jannah, in Jannah will say, ask from me. Is there anything that I can give you? People will say, Ya Rabbana, O our Rabb, Alam tubayyid wujuhana, have you not enlightened our faces? Alam tudkhilna al-Jannah, have you not granted us entry into Jannah? Alam tunajjana min al-Nar, have you not granted us safety from the fire of Jahannam? You have given us everything. There is nothing more that we want from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, there is still one favor which is the king of the favors. Ask from me. Think. People will think, but they will not be able to reach conclusion. So they'll start discussing amongst themselves. They still will not be able to reach conclusion. So they will say, let us look for the ulama. Because Allah is persisting that you ask me. There is still one more great favor left. Ask me. So the people of Madina Masjid, whether they revere their imams and ulamas today or not, in the hereafter, they'll go looking for Maulana Budiyat Sahib, Maulana Yusuf Sahib, Qari Sayyid Sahib. Let us go and ask them that Allah is asking this question, what shall we say to Allah? Ulama will be needed in Jannat also. In Jannat also. Why? Because they are great? No. Because the ilm that they have is great. So I was saying, my friends, that there is a vast difference between the two. We have placed more importance for secular education in our hearts and minds. More. There are many homes. For example, a home is known for business. Or a home is known for secular education. For example, the home has doctors or professionals associated to the field of medicine. They will serve the ulama. They will be very hospitable to the ulama. They will give lot of honor to the ulama. They will want the ulama to go to their homes to bless their home. But when it comes to their child, they cannot comprehend their child becoming an individual of this downtrodden group. How will I be able to show my face to the community I am associated with, the community of medicine? How will I be able to say that my son has taken admission in a darulum and he is becoming an alim? Yes, there are those who associate themselves to the mashayikh, the khanqahs, Dawat-u-Tabligh, and through the barakah of Dawat-u-Tabligh and Khanqah and Mashayikh, their tarbiyah is done. Thereafter, they know my child will go. But otherwise, no. They will give lot of respect to the ulama and everything. But no, how is it possible for me to tell somebody that my son is an alim? No. I have seen so many homes like these that they show so much respect to ulama, and I know they have respect for ulama. But they don't have the courage to face their community, the community which they belong to, and say that my son is becoming an alim. The most they will do is make him hafiz in the maktab. But sending him to Darulum and deprive him of the other sciences to give him the ilm of nubuwwat, no, that they will not be able to do. So I will conclude with the introduction of my speech. I am concluding now. The introduction was education. When we compare secular education with religious education, practically we give more importance to religious secular education over religious education. We have to accept this. We have to. Nobody can deny this. In my childhood, I remember myself complaining to my mother that, "Mom, I have a headache. Mathu bodukhe, I have a headache." And sometimes it was very severe, sometimes it was tolerable. But I used to see that as an excuse not to go to school or not to go to madrasa. So I just say, "I have a headache," at the age of 6, 7, at the age of 10, even after coming to the, I can still picture that. And I used to dislike my mother's behavior. But now, whenever I picture that scene, I recite at least 3 times Surah Ikhlas and send her the sawab of that Surah Ikhlas. Because I feel that her behavior was the foundation in whatever I have managed to achieve. "Mom, headache." So she would say, "Go, you'll be okay. Headache." She used to differentiate between secular and religious education. Secular education, she would give in after 4-5 attempts. And she would say, "Okay, go to sleep." But madrasa, she never budged. She used to become angry and furious. And she used to force us brothers and sisters to go, "No, madrasa, no, you have to go." Let us give this importance. Let us give this importance to the ilm of Nubuwwah. Let us give this due importance. It deserves this importance, the ilm of Nubuwwah. Practically, we give more preference to the secular education over religious education. Alhamdulillah, when I was studying in secondary school, in high school, I was a very bright student in my secular education also. I was very bright in my madrasa education and also in my school education. Secular, religious both. I had the opportunity to pursue both. My father chose this path for me, religious education. And I graduated from Darul Uloom Bari in 1986. And with Medina Masjid we go a very long way. Because in the early 1970s, or late 1970s rather, when I used to come here to visit my sister and spend a few days in my sister's home, I used to perform my salat here. And in 1982, I spent the whole month of Ramadan here with my beloved teacher, Hazrat Maulana Hashim Sahib. I graduated in 1986. It's approximately 22, 23, 27 years, 26 years. 26 years. So I had the opportunity of pursuing both. An equal opportunity. In fact, the other side was more attractive. And people used to encourage my father. This is in late 1970s. That we Muslim community don't have graduates. People are still migrating from the subcontinent. And your son is very bright. Why don't you make him something? Lawyer, doctor. He will be useful for the Muslim community. But only one answer my father knew. Whenever somebody used to discuss with him, only one answer. "I have allocated him for my hereafter." That was his only answer. "I have allocated him for my hereafter." And he had motivated me to think in the same manner. So no inclination. I used to in fact insist sometimes that, "When are you going to send me to Idarul?" 26 years have passed after my graduation. I have visited many countries, many cities, thousands of people I have met from all walks of life. Never, wallahi lazim, I am sitting in the masjid in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is only to clarify this notion that is in people's minds, that when a person becomes an alim, when a person acquires the ilm of nubuwa, he does not enjoy his life. He remains a needy person. He can barely manage his worldly life. He lives a life of depression. There is no happiness in his life. That's why I am saying this. Otherwise, it is not my habit to relate my own stories. In these 26 years, never, not even for a single moment, a thought in the form of waswasa has entered where I felt for a few seconds that my father has chosen the wrong path for me. I wish I was on the other path. Not even for a few seconds, and a thought not in the form of waswasa. Whenever I saw people in other fields, I always thanked my first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then my parents for choosing this path for me, because they could not have done anything better for me. And this path gives so much satisfaction, so much comfort, so much feeling of honor, that the desire within my heart is that if only each and every individual of the ummah can become an alim. I know it is not practical. I know it is not possible, but that is how I feel. So if we have the ability to become ulama, become huffaz, if we have the ability to make our children, our grandchildren follow this path, alhamdulillah. If not, then go for secular education, do something with your life. Don't ruin your life. Khasirat dunya wal akhirah. Neither dunya nor deen. Do something with your life. Acquire some education in the college, university, remaining within the boundaries of Sharia, and become a good Muslim professional who is beneficial to the Muslim Ummah and the humanity at large. And with that, always look at ulama, at the people of ilm, with respect. Never let this thought come in your mind, maulvis, hafizis, no. Detrimental. Iman is in danger. Iman is in danger. So this is the first comparison. Secular education, religious education. When it comes to religious education, it is divided into two categories. Elementary and higher. So when we compare elementary and higher, then Darulum, mashallah. He is teaching in a Darulum. Alhamdulillah, it is an honor that a person is teaching hadith, a person is teaching tafsir, a person is teaching fatawa. Alhamdulillah, in a Darulum, it is higher education. Alhamdulillah. So, secular education has precedence over religious education. When we compare only religious with religious, then we have some respect for the Darul Ulooms, for the Jamiat, for the people who are learning in Jamiat, teaching in Jamiat. But when it comes to the elementary stage, Makatib, we to madrasa chhe ne. ये तो मदरसा में पढ़ावे ने मदरसा में जवानों छे ने एक दिवस छुट्टी कर ले तो हूं वांदो छे ये जो लग इट्स ओनली मदरसा मदरसा जे इट्स ओनली मदरसा दिस एम्फसिस दैट इट्स ओनली मदरसा मदरसा छे ने आर वी नॉट लुकिंग डाउन अपॉन द मक्तब आर वी नॉट डिग्रेडिंग द मक्तब आर वी शोइंग एनी रिस्पेक्ट टू द मक्तब. Let the child go when it likes. Let the child leave the madrasa when it likes. Even in Leicester, we experience this in the Makatib. Parents will come and say that every Tuesday, my child will leave at 6:30. Your child will leave. Who has given him permission to leave? You have already taken the decision. That is what parents do when they come to the principal in the madrasa. Every Tuesday, my child will leave the madrasa at 6:30. Why? Because he's got karate lessons. Do you give your children karate lessons at the time of school? Give importance to the centers of ilm. The Jamiat, the Darul Ulooms, the Marakis of higher education, and also the makatib. Makatib. This is my only message. Understand this. This illness is there and we have to cure it. If we continue to look down upon makatib, ulama, madaris, and those of you who feel that no, I am not in this category, I respect ulama a lot. Why? Because I remain in the khidma of Maulana Suleiman Budiyat Sahab all the time. So my question to such people is that the only alim you see in Batli? How do you behave with the other ulama? Hazrat Mufti Musa Bajaj Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rauf Sahib, they are all my elders. I have lot of respect and love for them. They deserve the utmost respect. And people should benefit from the mashayikh that are within your communities here, that are within your localities here. Benefit from them. Benefit from these mashayikh. Because what normally happens is that after these mashayikh depart, then we realize who that person was who has departed. Then you will not be able to find them because they are in the other world hereafter. Benefit from them. You have icons of Ruhaniyat here in Batli. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I am not saying that those people who serve these great ulama are not worthy of compliment. I am not saying that. There is a spiritual illness which I would like to point towards. If we find respect for a particular alim who is well known in the public, and we do not find respect for the other ulama, then know that I am associating myself with this alim, not because of his ilm, but because of my fame. For my fame I am doing this. If we had respect for ilm, and because Maulana is an icon, we would have respected him 1000%. But all the other ulama, we would have respected them at least 100%. If we had respect for ilm. So many a time shaitan misguides us. Oh, this sheikh, this buzurg comes from India, this buzurg comes from Pakistan, this buzurg comes from South Africa. I have a lot of taluk with them. I respect them a lot. I serve them a lot. I dedicate all my time for them when they are here in this country for 2 weeks and 3 weeks. Who says I don't have respect for ulama? So what respect do you show to the other ulama? Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi Alayhi was the teacher of Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And when he was the Shaykhul Hadith at Darulum Deoband, Shaykhul Hind Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullahi Alayhi visited Darulum Deoband and he was requested to speak to the students. And while Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi Alayhi was still alive, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullahi Alayhi in his lecture said that you do not give due respect to your teachers. And he said, all of you give lot of respect to Shaykhul Hind Rahimahullah Ta'ala. It is not because he is your teacher, it is because he is famous. And you want to benefit from his fame, that's why you respect him. If you had respected Hazrat because of his ilm, and because he is your teacher, you would have respected the other asatiza also. So why is it that you disrespect the other asatiza and respect Hazrat only? Respect ilm, respect the people of ilm, respect madaris, and instill these valuable ideologies in the hearts and minds of your children. Then only we will be able to save the deen in our future generations. And last note, if we respect the ulama, if we respect ilm, if we respect the people of ilm, if we respect Quran, if we respect hadith, we will not be benefiting ilm or we will not be benefiting the ulama. We will be benefiting ourselves. So never let this thought come in your mind that the ulama are losing out on something and it is for this reason I am emphasizing this point a lot. No. I am emphasizing this point because the masses are losing out. If we respect the ulama, inshallah, summa inshallah, sooner or later within the next 20 years, ilm will come in your home. And if we disrespect ulama, ilm will never come in your home, and if ilm is there, ilm will go away from our homes. Alhamdulillah, I am very, very happy to be here today in Medina Masjid after a very long time. Not that I was not invited. I am humbled by the ulama and the scholars and the management here. Alhamdulillah, they continually remember me. But it was just that the date did not match with my schedules whenever I was invited. So this time I made a point of coming here. You always feel at home in those places where you have a very long attachment. And listening to the recitation of the students who completed the Quran, and also listening to the program of the students, I was sat in the back room listening to the Alhamdulillah. And we hear as well, we hear from people, we hear from ulama, the effort that is taking place in the maktaba and in the madrasa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it more acceptance, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of all who are striving. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى جنة الخلد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا
وذهاب همومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم. اے ارحم الراحمین, رحم کا معاملہ فرما, کرم کا معاملہ فرما, یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما, عفو عافیت کا معاملہ فرما, فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما, حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما, ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما, ہماری سیئیات کو معاف فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, ہمیں اپنی مرضیات پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, ناراض کرنے والے ہر کام سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, ہمیں اپنی معرفت عطا فرما, اپنی محبت عطا فرما, اپنا خاص تعلق نصیب فرما, تقوی کی دولت سے سرفراز فرما, یقین نصیب فرما, ایمان کامل عطا فرما, سچا اسلام نصیب فرما, مقام ولایت عطا فرما, مقام صدیقیت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, اپنی شایان شان ہمیں نعمتیں عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, جب تک زندہ رکھے اسلام پر زندہ رکھ, جب موت آئے حسن خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما. الہ العالمین, آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما. الہ العالمین, آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما, آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, لطف کا معاملہ فرما. الہ العالمین, رحمت کی بارشیں برسا دے, رحمت کی بارشیں برسا دے. الہ العالمین, تیرے دربار سے جب بھی کوئی چیز تقسیم ہو رہی ہو, الہ العالمین اس وقت غفلت سے بچا لے. الہ العالمین, اس وقت غفلت سے بچا لے, غفلت سے بچا لے. ہمارے قلوب کو ذاکر بنا دے. الہ العالمین, ہمارے دلوں کو ذاکر بنا دے, ہمارے دلوں کو ذکر کے نور سے منور فرما, ہماری زبانوں کو تیری یاد سے تر و تازہ فرما. الہ العالمین, اپنے محبوب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محبت عطا فرما, ان کی اتباع کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, پوری شریعت کو سیکھنے والا بنا دے, اس پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے. الہ العالمین, علم دین کی ہمارے دلوں میں عظمت پیدا فرما, علماء کی محبت ہمیں عطا فرما, حفاظ کی, قراء کی, مفتیوں کی محبت عطا فرما, مدارس کی محبت عطا فرما, مکاتب کی محبت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, ان سارے کاموں کے لیے ہمیں, ان سارے کاموں کی خدمت کے لیے ہمیں قبول فرما لے. الہ العالمین, ہمارے گھروں میں علماء پیدا فرما, حفاظ پیدا فرما, مفتیان کرام پیدا فرما, محدثین مفسرین پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین, پھر انہیں اس علم کو لے کر پورے عالم میں پھیلنے کا جذبہ عطا فرما. الہ العالمین, انہیں دعات میں شامل فرما, مبلغین میں شامل فرما, معلمین میں شامل فرما, انہیں علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما. الہ العالمین, قیامت تک ہماری نسلوں میں علم کو, تقوی کو, خدمت دین کو جاری اور ساری فرما. الہ العالمین, جن بچوں نے حفظ قرآن کی تکمیل کی ہے, انہیں بے حد قبول فرما, بے انتہا قبول فرما. الہ العالمین, اپنی بارگاہ میں شرف قبول عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, ان معصوم بچوں نے یہاں کے زہریلے ماحول میں رہتے ہوئے تیرے کلام کو اپنے سینے کا خزینہ بنایا ہے. الہ العالمین, یہاں کے ماحول کو دیکھ کر اور اسباب اور وسائل کو دیکھ کر ہم یقین کے ساتھ کہہ سکتے ہیں کہ یہ صرف تیرے فضل سے ہوا ہے. الہ العالمین, یہ تیری طرف سے انتخاب ہے. الہ العالمین, ان بچوں کو ہمیشہ کے لیے منتخب فرما لے. الہ العالمین, انہیں علم دین کے لیے منتخب فرما لے. مرتے دم تک الہ العالمین حفظ کو ان کے سینوں میں محفوظ فرما. الہ العالمین, ان کو قرآن مجید کی تلاوت کا شغف عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, قرآن کریم کے صحیح معانی کو سمجھنے والا بنا دے. الہ العالمین, اور انہیں پوری زندگی خدمت قرآن کے لیے قبول فرما لے. اے ارحم الراحمین, ان کے خاندانوں کو قبول فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, ان کے اساتذہ کو قبول فرما, یہاں کی منتظمین شورا کو قبول فرما, جن جن حضرات نے ان کے پیچھے محنتیں کی ہیں. الہ العالمین, سب کو دن دوگنی رات چگنی ترقیات سے مالا مال فرما, آخرت میں بھی جزا عطا فرما, دنیا میں سکون دینداری نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, ہماری مدینہ مسجد کے تحت چلنے والا جو مدرسہ ہے, الہ العالمین اس کو عافیت عطا فرما, حفاظت نصیب فرما, بدناظرین کی نظر سے, شریروں کے شر سے, مفسدین کے فساد سے, حاسدین کے حسد سے اس کی حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین, اس کے اساتذہ شورا منتظمین میں جو موجود اتفاق ہے اس میں اور برکت پیدا فرما, جو اخلاص ہے اس میں بھی اور برکت پیدا فرما, جو لگن جو دھن ہے اس میں بھی اور برکت پیدا فرما. ارحم الراحمین ارحم الراحمین ارحم الراحمین. یہاں کے جو علماء ہیں اور یہاں کے جو ائمہ ہیں جو حفاظ قراء ہیں ان کے فیوز میں علوم میں برکت پیدا فرما, الہ العالمین ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما, اور تادیر الہ العالمین ان سے امت کو فیضیاب فرما. الہ العالمین اس شہر میں جتنے مکاتب ہیں جتنے مدارس ہیں اور الہ العالمین جتنی خانقاہیں ہیں جتنے علماء دین کے کام میں لگے ہوئے ہیں جتنے ہمارے بھائی دوست احباب مساجد سکول وغیرہ کی لائن سے خدمتوں میں لگے ہوئے ہیں جتنی اسلامی سکولیں ہیں اسلامی تنظیمیں ہیں ہماری دعوت و تبلیغ, الہ العالمین ان سب کی حفاظت فرما, الہ العالمین سب کو شرف قبول عطا فرما, اشاعت دین اور حفاظت دین کا انہیں ذریعہ بنا. الہ العالمین ہماری جو مشائخ ہیں ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما, ان کے فیوز میں برکت پیدا فرما, ان سے زیادہ استفادہ کرنے کی ہمیں توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین ان کے ٹھنڈے میٹھے سائے کو تادیر ہم پر امت پر قائم فرما. الہ العالمین اب تک اہل علم مشائخ مدارس مکاتب اور علم کے سلسلے میں ہم سے جو کوتاہیاں ہوئی ہیں الہ العالمین ہم آج توبہ کرتے ہیں, معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے معاف فرما دے. یا الہ العالمین جو کوتاہیاں ہوئی ہیں جو علم کی علماء کی گستاخیاں ہوئی ہیں الہ العالمین اس کی نحوست کو دور فرما دے, اس کی نحوست سے ہمیں ہمارے خاندانوں کو بچا لے. اور یا ارحم الراحمین ہم سچی پکی توبہ کرتے ہیں, اس سچی پکی توبہ پر استقامت عطا فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین ہماری یہ مدینہ مسجد اور یہ مدرسہ اور اسی طرح جامع مسجد مدرسہ اور یہاں کی جتنی مسجدیں ہیں الہ العالمین اس کے جو بانیین ہیں جو شروع شروع میں اس ملک میں آئے تھے اور بڑی قربانیوں کے ساتھ انہوں نے الہ العالمین اس کا بیج بویا اور اس درخت کو پانی سے سینچ سینچ کر الہ العالمین وجود دیا, اسی کے پھل آج ہم سب کھا رہے ہیں. الہ العالمین ان میں سے تقریباً سبھی قبروں میں سوئے ہوئے ہیں. الہ العالمین ان اداروں کو تا قیام قیامت آباد رکھ کر ان کی قبروں کو نور سے منور فرما, ہم سب کی طرف سے انہیں جزائے خیر عطا فرما. الہ العالمین اپنی بارگاہ میں انہیں بے انتہا شرف قبول عطا فرما. الہ العالمین الہ العالمین ختم قرآن کے موقع پر دعائیں قبول ہوتی ہے, آج الہ العالمین سات سات بچوں نے تکمیل حفظ قرآن کیا ہے, الہ العالمین اس کی برکت سے امت کے سارے مسائل کو حل فرما دے. اس وقت جو ہاتھ اٹھا کر تیرے دربار میں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں ان میں سے ہر ایک کو الہ العالمین ہدایت عطا فرما دے, تیری محبت عطا فرما دے, تیرا تعلق عطا فرما دے, ولایت عطا فرما دے, شفائے ظاہری باطنی جسمانی روحانی عطا فرما دے. الہ العالمین جو بے اولاد ہیں اولاد صالح عطا فرما, اولاد والوں کو اولاد کی طرف سے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک عطا فرما, جو بے روزگار ہیں رزق حلال عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین جو گمراہ ہیں انہیں ہدایت عطا فرما, اے ارحم الراحمین جو بے رشتہ ہیں انہیں نیک صالح رشتہ عطا فرما, جو جیلوں میں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں مقدمات میں پھنسے ہوئے ہیں باعزت رہائی نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین اپنے دین کو پورے عالم میں غلبہ عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین مظلومین کی دستگیری فرما, مظلومین کی دستگیری فرما, مظلومین کی دستگیری فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین یہاں بہت سے حضرات ایسے ہوں گے جن کا دل یہ چاہ رہا ہوگا کہ ان کے لیے ان کے دنیاوی اخروی خاص خاص مسائل کے لیے دعائیں کی جائیں. الہ العالمین ان میں سے بہت سے وہ ہوں گے جو کسی کے سامنے اپنا مسئلہ بیان بھی نہیں کر سکتے ہوں گے. الہ العالمین پورے عالم میں اسے جتنے پریشان لوگ ہیں الہ العالمین اپنی دست قدرت سے ان کے کاموں کو بنا دے, اور الہ العالمین دنیا اور آخرت کی راحتیں اور سکون انہیں عطا فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے اساتذہ ہمارے مشائخ اور ہمارے ماں باپ کو ہماری طرف سے جزائے خیر عطا فرما. جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے, جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں محبت رکھتے ہیں, الہ العالمین سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا فرما. الہ العالمین جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما, جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا وہ بھی عطا فرما, آپ کی محبوب پیغمبر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما, جن شرور سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان سے پناہ عطا فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم, رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين, سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين, واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين.